Okay, so today we're going to discuss the relationship of Shechita to Melika and Kemitza. So just to remind ourselves again, the Mishnah taught us that if a Shechita was done Belaila, so the carbon talmud is possible and it goes to the Beis HaSreifa and it gets burnt there. So the Gemara in the Chavtes on the bottom says that Tanya Avu Adir Rebbe of Avin Lo Zu Bilvad Amru, not only with respect to Shechita Belaila, but even Af Melika Sa'ofu Kemitzas Mincha Belaila Tisarif, that even if a Malika was done Belaila, or Kemita was done Belaila, these two will also be burnt. So there are three basic categories when it comes to the world of Kadshim of types of karbanos. There is the behemas, which is a shechita on the animals. There's the oaf of the bird, which is Malika. And then there's the flower, which is the Kemitza on the menachos. So those are the three basic categories. And the Gemara says all three have the same psul Laila. So Rashi tells us, how do we know that there's a psul belaila? We know that shechita belaila is possible, because Rashi told us back in the Mishnah that b'yom zivchachem, that the zvicha, the shechita, needs to take place by yom. But what's the source that malika and kemitza have to be done by yom as well? So Rashi has this interesting line that de gamri lahu mishchita, that we derive malika and kemitza from shechita, that malika's oaf, Ukmitas mincha are bemakom shchitas hazvachemim. They are in place of the shchita of a behema. We have that same parallel with menachos and with ofos. So it's really a gemara that Rashi quotes. That Rashi is referring to the gemara in Zvachim, which tells us that there are dalad avodos when it comes to mincha. Even though the gemara doesn't mention it, but there are also dalad avodos when it comes to ofos. So they're all parallel. So the first stage in each of them is shechita, and parallel to melika, which is parallel to kemitza. And then there's when shechita, the next avodah is the kabbalah. When you catch the blood, so there's kabbalah for the kemitza, and there's kabbalah for the melika. And then there's a third avodah, which is the halacha, which you carry each of them over, the blood of the animal, the blood of the bird, and the blood, and they rather the mincha, the kemitza, you carry over. And the fourth stage is the haktara, or the zrika. You put the blood on the mizbeach, you put the malika, the blood of the oaf, on the mizbeach, or you pour the kemitza on the mizbeach. So those are the dalad avodos that we have in the three categories, and the Gemara says that the kemitza and shechita are equal, and Rashi adds on that malika is also equal to the shechita and the kemitza. So just like shechita belaila is pasul, so to malika and kemitza belaila are pasul as well. So this is pointed out by Rashi, but there's a big kasha that all the Rishon point out. They don't really ask the question directly in Rashi, but they point to the Gemara in Megillah that is a big kasha in Rashi. The Gemara in Megillah, the Mishnah first, tells us that kol ha-mitzvahs bayom, kasher bayom, any mitzvah that's unique to the daytime can be performed any time during the daytime, but if it's performed belaila, it's going to be pasul. And so the Mishnah quotes all the mitzvahs we know, Mikra Megillah, Halel, Shofar, Lulav, all these things are only Mutter Bayom, but they're Pasa Belaila. Now, on that list, the Mishnah goes on to quote Kadshim Halachas, Shchita, Tenufa, Gasha, Kmita, Ktara, Lemlika. So what's the source for all of them? So the Gemara tells us, well, Shchita, we already know why Shchita has to be Bayom, because Bayom Zivchachem, the Pasuk says. Zvicha slash Shchita needs to take place Bayom. But what about Malika and Kmita? So that the Gemara tells us because there's a different pasuk, Bayom Tavaso es Bnei Yisrael. Bayom Tavaso, which is in the context of Kadshim, that all Kadshim are only Kasher Bayom, not Belaila. So we see that Malik and Kemitza have a different source as to why they're Pasuk Belaila, because Bayom Tavaso. So then the question becomes to Rashi, how come Rashi doesn't quote this Mishnah and Gemara and Megillah that Malik and Kemitza are Pasuk Belaila because Bayom Tavaso? Why is Rashi bringing another explanation? Because it's equated to Shechita. That's the question, which I assume you all figured out by now. So the answer, what's the Siach Yitzchak's answer? What does he suggest? I forgot to look into who he was. I apologize. But as I mentioned to all of you who've asked, and rightfully asked, he's a very important sefer on Kadshim, but I've never seen the sefer in print. I've only seen it quoted, and again, I did some work to find it in Otzer Chachma to get the actual page here. But what's the Siach Yitzchak's suggestion as to why Rashi brings another source in the Gemara? Likuva. There's this concept we have throughout Kadshim, Shana Lav HaKasuf, La'akiv. In the world of Kadshim, for something to be Li'ikuva, you have to have the pasuk repeat itself. So saying the pasuk once, that there's a certain halacha, and if you don't do it, b'diavad it's kasher. But if the pasuk repeats itself, shana levakasava, it means la'akev. If it's repeated, so that means if you miss that stage of the avoda, then it's going to be li'ikuva. We'll see. I'm not sure if we'll get that far in Yuma, but they talk about this a little bit in the Gemara in Yuma. I forget which parak exactly this is referring to, but it's brought a couple times in the Masech there. So says the Siach Yitzchak, the Gemara Megillah that tells us that Kemitza and Malika are pasul b'layla, because b'yom tzavaso, that's telling us l'chadchila you should do Malika and Kemitza b'yom. But b'diavid, if it was done b'layla, it would be kasher. So comes along Rashi and says that since Kemitza and Malika are equated to Shechita, and we know Shechita, as the Siach Yitzchak points out, it's pasul b'layla based on two other psukim. Shechita is learned out because it says b'yom zivchachem, and it says b'yom ekrivu es zivacho. So we know Shechita is pasul b'diavad. So now, bridging the gap of Kemitza to Malika to Shechita, that's the second pasuk, if you will, and therefore we say shana levakasuv, it's pasul even b'diavad, and it has to be hotzil beis hasreifa. That's how the Siach Yitzchak understands Rashi's chiddush. Yes. Yeah. If I could find maybe quickly a Gemara here in Yuma. The Gemara, hold on a second. If you want to see this inside. I think it's in Hotziulo. If I can't find it in 30 seconds, then we'll move on. I'll show you afterwards. Okay, I don't see it, but I owe you a Gemara. Okay. So then that's the first suggestion of the Siach Yitzchak to understanding Shitas Rashi, why he goes against the Gemara in the Megillah. He's not really going against the Gemara. He's simply explaining, adding on to the Gemara there. Now let's move to the Shita of the Brisker Rav. So Brisker Rav is going to open our eyes up to other areas of the Adios of Kachim. And he starts off with another question as to why the Gemara chose the case of Mlikas Of, and his girsa was an Of Chatas. I'm sorry, Olas Of. That was the girsa. So it doesn't say just Stam Malik of an Of, but it says Mlikas Olas Ha'of. Why is that the greater Chiddush more so than Chatas Of? So the big difference is that Of, their Olas Ha'of, is the Malika takes place on the Mizbech. Not on the Ritzba, not on the ground, but takes place on top of the Mizbech. Fine. And he says that there's a Havamina, there's a cloud that we have in the Mishnah and Tzvachim that im alu lo yerdu. If a psul, some of that psul is taken on the Mizbech, we leave it there. We don't take it down. Even though l'chachila, you shouldn't bring any psul on the Mizbech, if a person b'dieved alu lo yerdu, we don't bring them down. That's a cloud we have on most psulim. There are some exceptions. You have to look in the Mishnah there for some details, but assuming that's the general rule, im alu lo yerdu. So now, if a person, the olas ha'of is supposed to be malika, if you will, malked. I don't know how you'd say this in English, but the shechita, the malika, is done on top of the mizbeach, so that's where you do it. You're on top of the mizbeach, the kohen's there with the of, and he does malika on the olas ha'of on top of the mizbeach. Now he does his balayla, which is pasul. So you would think that based on the concept im alu lo yerdu, since the olas ha'of is already on the mizbeach, just leave it there, lo yerdu. Don't take it down in order to burn. That's what the havamina is. So it comes along now avuah de Rabbi Avin to tell us that no. There's a, even though normally im alu lo yerdu, when it comes to shechita balayla, Shechita b'layla, if an animal is shechted b'layla, im alu, the psak is yerdu. We do take down shechita b'layla. It's an exception. Most psulim, im alu lo yerdu, but shechita b'layla im alu yardu. So it comes along with Avin to tell us that olas ha'of is the same din. That just like, since malika is equated to shechita, that just like shechita b'layla im alu yerdu, so too Malika Balaila on an Ola Sa'of, even though it's already on the Mizbeach, the din is Alu Yerdu, we bring it down. And that's the Chiddush of Rashi. So again, we learn from Rashi that Shechita Balaila is Pasul, rather, we learn from the Gemara and Megillah, that Malika Balaila is Pasul. So you would think, so it's Pasul, you can't bring it on the Mizbeach. But maybe you would think, Im Alu, if you brought the Malika Balaila on the Mizbeach, it should be Lo Yerdu, don't bring it down. So Rashi says, no, there's an additional reason to bring it down, because Malika is parallel to Shechita. And just like Shechita Balaila, Im Alu Yerdu, so to Malika Balaila, Im Alu Yerdu. And that's what Rashi's adding in by making the equation to Shechita. Now this only answers really the case of Malika, but the Rashi said, rather the Brisker of Ad, the same halach applies to Mincha as well, Mincha Kmitza Balaila. That even though normally a Psul Balaila, a Psul rather, Im Alu Lo Yerdu, when it comes to Kmitza Balaila, Im Alu, we'd say Yardu, because of the equation to Shechita. Say it again?
Would
you ever have the Chatzos would be on the back, on the Ritzvah.
Would it ever happen to go up on the Mizbeach?
If, only if a person accidentally had done that.
Because it would be ending being the same din.
Same din, exactly, same din. What? But there's no Havamina that anyone would really do that. But there's a greater Havamina by also, oh, since the place of doing the Malika is on the Mizbeach, maybe we say just leave it there. Because Lichatchila we say, Alu, you should bring it up there. So there's a greater Havamina to think you should leave it there. Loter Yerdu, Kamashman, you should bring it down. Everyone with me on this, Brisker Rav? I know these are new concepts, but that's we're trying to get exposed to these new concepts. Yeah.
So by regular kush, we say Im Alu Yerdu, and that's right. What Rashi is telling us. Well, where in halacha do we see Im Alu that you leave it there, Lo Yerdu? Like, well, I mean, why would I have thought that you dafke Im Alu Yerdu?
That's in the Mishnah and Tzvachim says that.
What kavanos we do that by?
What, most psulim, I don't remember all of them, but most psulim, if you look in the Mishnah and Tzvachim, most psulim Im Alu Lo Yerdu. We don't take them down. We leave them up there. There are a couple exceptions in the Machlokas Tanakh and Rabbi Yehuda that certain psulim we do bring down. I don't remember all of them, but one of them is Shechita Balaila, we do bring down. So that being the model, some Malik and Kmitza are going to fit in there as well. That's what Rashi is telling us. Okay, everyone's good right now? So we'll go through one last explanation, then we'll go through some interesting nafkaminas. So there's the Gilyoni Ashas. First there's Rashi in Maseches Megillah. But Rashi is a very lengthy Rashi. They're explaining Haktara and Malika. So what's the chiddush of Rashi and Megillah? Anyone? Hazai is a krava. And not so much that, but more even earlier stages are also considered Haktara. Right? He says that all the things listed, Malika and Kamitza, which are the first stages, that's all really the Tzorach Hakrava. He says, Haktaras Kometz is Hakrava, right? Throwing the Kometz, the way Kemitza works is just to explain, you have flour. So the Kohen does a Kemitza with his three middle fingers here, like that. He cleans off the top and the bottom. Now, most people think, the way we taught, whoever, if anyone was taught this when they were younger, you think it was like soft flour that you just clean off the top and the bottom. That's not true. The Gemara tells us in a few places that Zu Avoda, Zu Me Avodas Hakashos B'Migdash. This is one of the hardest Avodas in the base of Migdash. Now, if it was simply flour, what's so hard about wiping off the top and the bottom with the thumb and the pinky? Does anybody know why it's Zu Me Avodas Kashos Sheba Mikdash? Why this is one of the hardest Avodas?
Tart,
right. They fry it. It's cracked. Now you have to crack it. So now to be able to snap dough that's been fried and very hard, it's not easy to take your pinky and thumb and just to snap it like that. So that's why it's considered one of the hardest Avodas. So the way it was done is you have a flour that's in the with Lavona and perhaps Shemin in the Kli. You do a kamitza with your three middle fingers. You wipe off the top. You bring it over to the mizbeach, and you throw on the mizbeach. Those are the stages. Yes?
It's not really scooping. You're just picking it up with
your fingers. No, there's a... you
is
can't...
It hard? It's not picking it up.
It's true. The Gemara later on talks about how the kamitza is actually done. We're not going to get that far. But the Gemara says, the makansi inshi, the way people normally do it. So Gemara has, could you use these parts? You have to do the whole finger. What happens? The Gemara says, interestingly, what's the halacha of anything that's outside the hand is not part of the kmitza. It has to be inside the hand. So what about beina beirutzim, I think Gemara's lashon is, between the fingers. It's not in, it's not out. So the Gemara says, for that reason, you have to have a kohen who's very fat, who has fat fingers, which, by the way, was considered something chashuv then, So there's no in between the fingers. It all gets either inside or the outside. There's no in between. That's how the kmitza was done. So again, the kmitza was the shechita. You bring it over to the mizbeach. You sprinkle it onto the mizbeach. So Rashi explains there all these different stages. They're all considered the tzarech hazaya. It's all for the sprinkling. It's all for the akhtara. Every stage is tzarechei hakrava. Right? Like Rashi writes, kmitza melika v'kabala kulan tzarechei hakrava hein. They're all for the purpose of hakrava. So what's the significance? Yes.
According to Rashi, they are
Hakrava. The Yunamis and the Tzarchei Hakrava.
They're two different.
Either way, whether it's Hakrava or
Tzarchei
Hakrava.
No, meaning the difference would be Malika. And according to the first explanation, we're just saying Malika Bazayasoka. According to the second explanation, there's no. Rav Yosef Engel doesn't have a kasha. Because what we're just saying is everything's Tzarchei Hakrava. It's only according to the first one that there's a kasha. Because we're saying everything is Hakrava, and we say Malika Bazayaka Achas.
Now, I think it's even on both ends, that it's all, the focus is really on the Tzarech HaKrava, or even the HaKrava itself. So that shows that Malika is not going to be independent. I think it's on really both of them. It's really part and parcel of the HaKrava.
No, meaning if they're all Tzarech HaKrava, so what we're saying is even the Akhtar is Tzarech HaKrava, they're all on the same level. So there's no reason to think Malika is going to be any different. But it's only once we're calling them all HaKrava, and we're saying the reason why Malika is HaKrava is because Malikaso HaZayasuk HaAchas. And we're saying that Hazaya is really the Hakrava, so then Malika is not really the Hakrava. But if we're all just saying the Tzarech HaKrava, so Malika is on the same level as everything else. Because it's also
Tzarech HaKrava. Let's see, so Rashi says, Ilaktar's Komet HaKravahi, Ukmita Iskesh Laktara, Dichsev Komet Vihiktir. So Malika's Oaf, Malikasa Vazayasa Kachas, because Hazayasa Hi Hakravasa, Kabal Sadam Hakrava Karile.
So we're saying all of them are called Hakrava. Now the Kasher of Yosef Engel asks specifically on the Malika now, because we don't call Malika Hakrava, it's because of Azayas of Achas. But in the Inami, when we're saying Kol Tzarchei Hakrava, so they're all right, Kmitza, Malika, Kabbal, Kulan Tzarchei Hakrava. So Kasher's not going to be on that Inami, no?
I'm not sure. I have to look back into this after. I'm not sure. I'm not sure. I don't know if that's necessarily the case. I don't know. I'll have to look back into it. So, either way, so Rashi, there's this focus on the Malika being part of the Hakrava, part of the Hazaya. And so, the Gioni Ashas points out, if the focus is really the Hakrava, so then he says, this is the Gioni Ashas in Yuma, he quotes Rashi in Megillah, he says that if it's possible to do Malika, mamish at the last second of the Torah, of the day rather, the last second of the night, Belilah. And then the Hazah would be mamish right afterwards, the first second of the morning, so then it would be kosher. Because for Rashi, the focus is on not the Malik itself, the focus is really the Hazayah, the end. So as long as Hazayah is done Belilah, so rather by Yom, sorry, if Hazayah is done by Yom, we don't really care about the Malika so much. If that's the case, the Malika would be kosher, because we don't care about the Malika, the focus is really the Hazaya. That's what the Gion Ashas points out from Rashi's Shita in Megillah.
Why is that the conclusion to the fact that Malika is part of the Hakrava?
Because the whole focus is, since Malika is really a Tzarech HaKrava, part of the Hakrava, so we don't care about Malika in its own right. We only care about wherever the Hazaya is going to be, the end, the Totsah.
You could say that once we care about it as part of the process, that it takes on that
soul. Right. Yeah, you certainly could say that way. You can say once it's part of the process, so it has the same halachas. His understanding, I think you're correct, but his understanding is no. It's since it's only achana, we don't really care about the hechsher so much. We care about the end goal.
It's possible zara, no? It's like it's not. I mean, we say maybe the shechita that this is possible zara, no?
You know, ein achanami is certainly possible zara, but if the source of Belilah is Beyom Tzavaso, and the way Rashi understands Beyom Tzavaso is really about Lahakiv Karbonehem, only things that are related to Hakrava is a Psul Belilah. But since Malika is not really Psul, it's not a Hakrava in its own right, it's simply the Tzarech Hakrava, so it's possible to isolate it. So he says, since if you could isolate in such a way where the Malika is done Belilah and the Hazaya is done by Yom, in fact, this would be Kasha. That's the Chiddush of Rav Yosef Engel, understanding Rashi. So in light of this, so now the Klausenberger explains in this tshuva that that might be explaining why Rashi has to add in another source of the connection Malika Balayla and Kamrita Balayla to Shechita Balayla. Because based on this chiddush of Yosef Engel, Malika Taka Balayla would be good. So he says, no, since there's another element that Malika is connected to Shechita, and Shechita is possible Balayla, so through that equation, Malika is also going to be possible Balayla. Not because Malika is a hechsher for the Akrava, because Malika Bifnei Atzma has a din of Shechita to it, and that's why it's possible Balayla. So seeing from this, just interesting about where, how do you categorize Malika? Is Malika a avodah b'fnei atzmo like Shechita, even though Shechita is really lav avodah, but viewed as a ma'isa b'fnei atzmo, or is Malika really a hechsher for the hazaya that's to come? That's what comes out of this whole discussion of the Gaon Hashas and the Klausenberger. And that will explain, this will be the third explanation of Rashi Shita, why he has to give another explanation aside from the explanation and the pasuk brought by the Gemara Megillah, Daf Chaf Amud Beis. Everyone's with me, these three Shitas, just to review quickly. Again, Rashi gives another explanation either because Shana Lavakasov, La'akev, Siach Yitzchak. Number two is because the Brisker Rav, to teach me that either, even though the Olas Of is in the Mizbech, Imalu, he says, Yerdu, you have to bring it down. That's the added chiddush. You have to burn it, different than other psulin. And the third explanation is now the Klausenberger, based on Rabbi Yosef Engel, that even though Malika as a hechsher would be kasher Balayla, but Malika as a ma'isa b'fnei atzmo connected to Shechita would be pasa Balayla.
The Gemara Megillah brings Biyom Tavoso, so the point is Biyom Tavoso is not really a makar that Malika is pasa Balayla?
Right, exactly.
The Gemara Megillah brings a shock in the part, like,
right, so the Rashi says that Biyom Tzavas is referring to Hakravas HaKarbanos. So all, everything Rashi goes, that's Rashi's explanation. Everything that's related to Hakrava is going to be subsumed under the pasuk Biyom Tzavas. That's the idea of Rashi. Okay. You guys can find it out.
According to the way that Yon Hashas learns through Rashi, the Gemara brings a list things which are puzzle Belila, and according to the way he learns, two of them are, it's like, it's not true about them, but they're not really, it's just a technical, like, most of them are fundamentally puzzle, and then two of them are just technically because the Yosef and Thompson.
Right. You're correct, it's true. They're different, now they become different levels, even though one puzzle's being used, the level of psul are different.
Yeah. Level. One is fundamentally not possible Balayla, and it's a list of things which are possible Balayla.
Right. That's a good point. It's a good point. Yeah.
According to the Klausenberger and Brisker Rav, mm-hmm. and also the second answer, the Siach Yitzchak, which we didn't discuss, all those, it makes sense. According to the first answer, the Siach Yitzchak, though, right, according to the way Rashi Neum is describing it, isn't that we learn that from Yom Zev Chachem, right? We learn that from Shechita, specifically. According to his second answer, they're all saying we learn that from Shechita, it's a din in Shechita. According to the first answer, it's not a din in Shechita at all. It's just a din in Yom Zev Chachem.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's much harder to fit it in within the Lashon of Rashi. The idea may be true of Shina Love, but we're talking about Shechita. I could have said the Gar Melim would be Yom Zev Chachem. Then it would have made sense.
According to the first answer of the Siach Yitzchak,
right? That's why he says the Inami is, when you look at the Inami, it's really, we're learning it out from Shechita in that Inami.
But I'm not sure that answer, I don't know if Inami is actually going as a second answer. I think Inami is really explaining the first answer.
Really?
Yeah, I think so. I think he's going to explain. I think so. I read through it clearly. I'm pretty sure he's explaining the first answer. I think it's really one answer. Sorry? Yes, I think so. Look, I'm pretty sure he's just saying, he's elaborating on the first answer. Yeah, could be. I'm not sure. I don't know. I'll have to look at it afterwards. I don't know entirely. I read it as one answer. I know others also read it as two answers. I thought he was just explaining it, in which case it wouldn't be so much Akasha what you're asking now.
Yeah.
Okay. Now, let's understand for a second, this raises just a general question in Chakira of Malika and Kamitza in comparison to Shechita. So we just explained Pshat and Rashi now, but we can still raise a Chakira. How equal is Malika and Kamitza to Shechita? How equated are they really? So anyone get a chance to see the Mishnah L'Melech? Actually, before Mishnah L'Melech, let's first look at Tosos. Anyone see Tosos in Daf Chav Tes? Someone Aleph? There's a very long Tosos here. And Tosos is dealing with why the Gemara's concern is only the Psul of Laila. There's so many other reasons why the Malika and the Kamitza should be Pasul. So without getting involved in all the different reasons, I want to just point out the center of Tosfos here. If you look, those who didn't see it, we can see inside together right now. If you look on the, again, the one Tosfos on Chav Tesam and Aleph, if you go down around halfway down the narrow line to where it quotes the Gemara Menachos, Mem Tesam and Beis, and the next word is Vahadilo. If you guys are 15 seconds to get it. Chav Tesam and Aleph. Tosis Chav Tesam and Aleph, Vahadilo Paslinan. Okay, everyone good? So the Gemara now says, rather Tosis writes, Vahadilo Paslinan, that which the Gemara Shmaita, that the Gemara doesn't say Pasol, Mishum Dehavi Kodem Psichas, Delasos Haheicha. There's a halacha based on the Shlamim, the Gemara and Erevin quotes this Inyan, that the doors of the Azar have to be opened up for the Karbanos to be kasher. If the doors are closed, any Karbanos are going to be pasul. So why not take the situation where the doors are closed, and that's why it's pasul? And the Yeshlomar, the lo mifsal ela b'shchita kidichse v'shachtu. The pasuk, which is the source of the delos, the doors being open, it says the word v'shachtu. So only shchita is pasul. Ava b'malika v'kmitza lo. But doing a malika or doing a kmitza, if the doors are closed, there is no psul. So what's clear from Tosos is that Tosos distinguishes between malika and kmitza on one hand versus shchita on the other hand. There's only a psul shchita if the doors are closed, but there is no psul malika and kmitza. There's a distinction. Anyone see the Tosfos Yeshanim? Tosfos Yeshanim argues. Tosfos Yeshanim asks the same question. And he says, what's his answer? His first answer?
The doors were open.
You understand it? Doors were open, right. Doors were open already. Which means what? Implying had the doors been closed, so then he would agree that even Kamitza and Malika would have been pasul. So you see Tosfos Yeshanim in his first answer equates Kamitza and Malika to that of Shechita, that the psul of psichas delasos apply equally.
So the doors are open at night?
No, he says the doors, they open up the doors in the morning, and they did the malika or kamitza with the doors open. Oh, he's saying balayla, right. It must be balayla, it was open balayla, yeah, in echanami. Yeah.
You're dealing with a case of just not possibility. We asked the question with assuming that the doors were going to be closed.
Right, so we show them the answer that way all the time. The doors were open. Because the assumption was, as I say, saying that the Mishnah Talmud tells us that they'd only open the doors up first thing in the morning. They had these big doors that would enter into the base of Mikdash, and there's a little, small little door on the side. So the Mishnah Talmud describes how a Kohen would go inside, he'd walk around the inside of the entire base of Mikdash, make sure nothing was tampered with, and then he'd, from the inside, open up the doors, and then they'd go in, do the Trumas Hadeshen, and everything would take place. So that would only happen when the sun would rise. In a Hanami. But just like it's possible to have a kmitza and malika b'layla, it's also possible to have the doors open at night as well. So that's why there's no psula psichas adelasos. But again, Tosfos Yeshanim clearly assumes had the doors been closed, the malika and kmitza would have been possible, no different than the shchita is possible as well. So Tosfos Yeshanim equates them, and Tosfos argues and distinguishes. So that's the machlokes, whether kmitza and malika are mamish like shchita or not. Yes.
The only way, the only reason I had a problem with making that in Machlokes is because you're going to say that every single psul that exists by Shechita exists by Kmitza as well, and Malika as well. Every single, that all applies by Malika as well.
You have to go through each case and see, but certainly the first mission of Menachos talks about those inyanim when it comes to Kmitza and the Lashma Halachas. Uh-huh. You have to figure out how far are we going to take it, that's the whole question. But this is certainly application that we see that they are arguing whether they equated with respect to this particular halacha. Okay, fine. Let's do one last nafkamina, and then we'll call it a day. So The Mishnah Melech talks about Hilchos Avodah Zarah. The Gemara in Sanhedrin refers to different types of avodos, which qualifies as a Avodah Zarah. And there's a bit of a girsa within Rashi there, the Gemara there, that the Gemara read the Mishnah Melech together. This is number 9. So he's quoting the Rambam that says that Mishtachaveh, bowing down, Vizoveach, and Shechting, and Maktir, and Manasseh are all considered Avodos for Avodah Zarah. And the Mishnah Melech quotes the Gemara Sanhedrin Daf Samech Amid Beis, which the Gemara asks, L'chashov Nami Zorik, so Zrika should also be included, throwing blood. Of Rabbi, Bai says, Zorik Haini Manasseh, they're the same exact Avodah. So Mishnah Melech quotes Shitas Rashi, that says, Dibishma, I understand why didn't the Gemara ask, Mikabel Molik Lo Kashilon? The Gemara should have said, oh, isn't Kabbalah also an Avodah? Isn't Malika also an Avodah? Lo Kashilon, the Gemara didn't ask such a question, because Afagav, the Avodah's Panim, even though for us, for the Panim of the Beis HaMikdash, these are considered Avodahs, namely Kabbalah Malika. Never do you find anywhere that Kabbalah, catching blood, is an Avodah for Avodah Zarah, or Malika is an Avodah for Avodah Zarah. That doesn't exist anywhere. So, near Midvarav, it comes clear from the words of Rashi, says in Mishnah Melech, Demolik eino chayiv, you're not chayiv from Malika to Avodah Zarah. Vutema, it's a very strange thing, says the Mishnah Melech. Devadai molik chayiv, of course it is. And that's what the Kesem Mishnah writes. Dehalo tani molik, haynu mishum molik, haynu zoveach. It's because he says, because the reason why Malika wasn't mentioned in the Gemara, why wasn't Malika mentioned in the Gemara? What's he answering? It's same thing. Molik, haynu zoveach, it's the same thing. When the Gemara says Zavicha is Avodah Zarah, that means the Malika is also Avodah Zarah. It's the same exact halacha. Asher Karchach Nirli, to Taro Sofer, he changes the girsa to be Mekabel Umolich, not Molik with a kuf, Molich. That was a shaila. Kabbalah and Holacha, that's not Avodah Zarah, that's not Avodah. But Malika, Avada Malika, Malika is considered Avodah, no different than Shechita. So he argues on the girsa of the Rashi in front of us. So they're arguing whether Malika is Avodah Zarah or not. What's the machlokes? Whether Malika is really Zavicha, whether Malika is Shechita, or it's not Shechita. If Malika is Mamash Shechita, so then there would be an Isra of Avodah Zarah. If Malika is not Shechita, so then it would not be subject to the Isra of Avodah Zarah. And then in the end, the Mishnah Melech says, he quotes from Tosos, and Daf Samach Gimel Amud Beis, Samach Dal Amud Aleph, that Kemitza for Avodah Zarah is also Avodah Zarah, and that's for the reasoning of, because Kemitza is mamish like Shechita as well. So same thing, just like Malika is Shechita, so to Kemitza is Shechita, and there would be an Isra of Avodah Zarah. But if you were to assume that Kemitza is not like Shechita, so then there would not be an Isra of Avodah Zarah of Kemitza. Everyone got there? We're good? Okay, fine.
All these Mishnah, all these Akron, are basing this Dimyon of Shechita to Malika just on that Gemara and Zvachim. I mean, that Gemara and Zvachim, is that Gemara and Zvachim saying there's like a Lundisha, like, commonality between Shechita and Malika, or they're saying they resemble each other? It's very easy to understand the Gemara, not that the Mamash, the Hainu Hach, the same thing, no?
Again, what's Rav Neri doing this? Why is he trying to tell us a klal of comparison to Kemitza and Shechita and so on if there's no halachic significance of it? He wouldn't just tell us a cute little thing of four of Avodah Zarah, four of Avodah Zarah, four of Avodah Zarah. Must be some halachic significance.
Yeah, people are learning this Gemara like it's like a Shava, like it's like Mamash the same exact thing.
In which case, there are halachas that we're going to learn from it, which is what Rashi says here, and they all explain why Rashi adds a Chiddush, and then there's an Afkaminas like we just explained. So again, how far are you willing to take this Gzera Shava? That's the whole debate here. So even Tosos has to agree that to a certain level there's a connection, but how far are you willing to take that connection? So that seems to be the debate between these Rishonim and Achronim. Okay, so we'll stop here. I gave out more Mamar Kamos. We'll give Hav Shir on Wednesday.